It is wonderful to be here this morning. And my brother Wayne said that the Spirit is with us here this morning. And I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit is in this room here this morning. And you know what's amazing is the Holy Spirit is not just here. He is with your pastor in Burundi this morning. And I can guarantee you that your pastor, because he's never been to Africa before, the service is over, but he's had an experience this morning that he's never had before in his entire life. And as you pray for Pastor this week, I probably can tell you how to pray a little bit more effectively for him. Burundi is the 8th poorest country in the world. In Burundi, back in the 1990s, over 350,000 people died in an 8-month period. They were killed in a genocide. And they were killed because they did not know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? In Burundi, that could happen again tomorrow. And the reason it could happen is if we don't tell the people in Burundi about the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not know how to forgive their brother and sister for what's happened in Burundi. So I'm asking you, because Burundi is very, very close to my heart. I've been there many times. Went in there during the genocide when it was so dangerous to be in there that they put us on the 5th floor of a hotel so the bullets couldn't go that high. But I am telling you, your pastor's safe, so don't worry. But I am telling you, the people in Burundi need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please pray for your pastor as he spends the week there. Your pastor called me and asked me to speak. And normally, I pretty well say the same thing everywhere I go. Tell the same story. So Sandy, who is sitting here, my wife, she's heard them all before. And she corrects me when I go home how I told them wrong. But the pastor, he asked me to speak, and I agreed. And then he said, well, by the way, I want you to speak on a parable. And so he asked me to pick a parable. Now, so I picked a parable, and the parable that I picked was the parable found in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. And I'm going to ask you to just, if you have your Bible, to just open your Bible. If you don't, I'll just read from Scripture. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds on sand. When the rains and floods come down and the wind beats against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, I had told my wife this morning, and then I told Sue, you know, that I was going to get them to get both of them up here to sing a song this morning, but they both threatened to kill me, so I decided that that wasn't a good idea. But I want to read just some verses or some lines out of that song. Now, for some reason, when I started to prepare this, I am a first-generation Christian, and I did not go to church when I was a kid. But when I started thinking about this parable, I realized somehow I knew this song. So I was singing this song in my head. And so you all know this song. If anybody who's been to Sunday school, you've heard this song. And it goes like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. I won't sing all the different, you do that 3 times, we're not going to go through that. Because that way I can take out my 30 minutes and I won't have to say anything else. But no. And then it says, and the rain came tumbling down. It says, the foolish man built his house on the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain came tumbling down. And into the next verse, it explains how the rain comes down and the floods come up. But the last line, and I think this is the new version. I don't think this is how we sang it. And Sandy can correct me, but it says, and the foolish man's house went splat. I don't think that's what we sang in the old days. That's the newer version. So it goes on in the next verse. It says, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to speak about today. We need to build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ. This parable, I didn't pick this parable because it was simple, but this really has a simple message. In Scripture, many times when a parable was written, it had to be explained after. I think we can all understand this parable and then how it is necessary to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people choose not to build their life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they liken that to building your house on sand. Now, Sandy and I, and Perry and Sally, we have both lived on the island of Bonaire, and we love Bonaire, don't we, Perry and Sally and Sandy? And there is this beach on Bonaire called Pink Beach, and I don't know if Perry and Sally ever saw this, but we lived on Bonaire on a Caribbean island for 9 years, and on that island, we had this one beautiful beach. And that beach was called Pink Beach because when the sand was there, it looked like it was pink. Now, we didn't very often get big storms, but every once in a while, a storm would come through the other islands and come to Bonaire. And when that storm came in and you would go there the day after the storm, that beach looked totally different. That beach was a rock beach because the sand was all gone. Do you remember that, Sandy? And it was a sand beach. So what always remained behind was a sand beach. Now, I'm trying to use a PowerPoint. I spent 13 years in Africa, and I'm not very good at this, and it doesn't look like it's working. So I'll just tell you when to go on the next slide. That's how we do it in Africa. We've got nothing. There we go. Anyway, when we were on Bonaire, they hadn't invented digital cameras. So I went looking through my pictures to find a beach and a rock. And actually, if you look at this, you can see it fairly well here. I can move over, get out of the... Oh, I'm probably blocking somebody else. But this is actually in South Africa. And you know the penguins that you pay to go see in Toronto? Well, we could go see them in South Africa in their natural habitat. But the reason I put up this picture is every time we went to that beach, the rocks were there. But every time we went to that beach looked totally different. And so the rocks are our foundation, and the sand is what changes. And the sand in the scripture speaks of an earthly view of which people have. And very often that earthly view is based on earthly hopes. And today, in Canada or anywhere in the world, that foundation on sand could be people depending on personal wealth or in their jobs or in the car we own or in the house we live in. But when the storms come, none of those things give us stability. And so the result can be disastrous. So thus, we need to heed the word of God and do what is wise and not depend on the earthly things. In Scripture, in the New Testament, Jesus taught a lot by parables. And what I really enjoy doing and what I'm best at, and Sue knows this and Sandy knows that, is actually telling stories. And so today, I can't make this work. So I'm not going to even try to bother. I'm going to ask, at one point I do need a slide, but I want to begin by telling a story. I want to start with a man. His name is Tony. Now, anybody that's in TWR knows the name Tony. Tony is an Iranian, and Tony grew up, was born in Iran, and during his birth, his mother died. When he was 6 months old, his father took him to a hospital, and the doctor said Tony was not going to live. So his father left and never came back to pick up Tony. And so Tony was there till he was about 2 years old, and they put Tony in an orphanage. Tony spent his growing up years in an orphanage, and eventually Tony, and this orphanage was a Christian orphanage, And there was about 50 children in this orphanage. And during the time that Tony was in this orphanage, none of the children ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tony was on the Iran-Iraq border. He was in the military. And Perry and Sally might not even know this, but he was on the Iran-Iraq border, and his best friend was killed. And Tony was going to commit suicide. Tony remembered when he was a boy that his orphan father had given him a New Testament. And he started reading through that New Testament, and when Tony got to chapter 11, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I tell that story because Tony has been serving with TWR for 30 years. And over the last 30 years, Tony has been speaking over the radio. Over the last 13 years, we have been doing conferences in different parts of the Middle East to teach people and get them grounded in the Word of God. I want to read you a letter that we got this morning from a man. This was sent to Tony. It says, "Dear Tony, we want to praise God for your prayers. While we were in jail, we often thought about you and the other teachers and saw your loving faces before us. And we got more assurance that in every situation God is using us. We have complete faith that with all the difficulties and challenges, God will continue his work in Iran. We saw God at work even during our time in jail." Why do I read this story? I read this story because this man, what I'm going to read next, demonstrates we need to be built, our lives needs to be built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to understand how somebody in jail could write what he writes next. It says, "Going to jail was a real blessing to both us and to the church. Many things were revealed to us and we learned new things. We want to thank you for the correct understanding of God's word that you and the other teachers taught us. Each one of us, one of the reasons we did not deny our faith, did not deny Christ, and kept our faith under all pressure and persecution was because of the correct teaching we had from all of you. We resisted temptation because we knew the word of God. Sadly, there were some who denied their faith. We were told about their release from jail and were told that we also would be free if we denied our faith. I can honestly say that the reason they denied their faith under pressure and persecution is that they did not have sound biblical teaching. They did not know what the Bible teaches and thus really did not know Jesus and so denied their faith. For this reason, we want to thank you, and we want to ask you to please continue to pray, teach us biblical doctrine. We believe if we Iranians hear the true teaching of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, we will be able to stand firm in our faith no matter what trials and tribulations come. I am writing this to you so you will be encouraged and happy and will continue to teach the Bible. The Church of Jesus Christ is based upon true teaching. Jesus will build his church in Iran." This man has built his life on the Lord Jesus Christ. This story goes on. This last December, this same man, they came to his place of business and took away all his machinery. And they have made it impossible for him to generate a living in Iran. But this man continues to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in Iran. Jesus needs to be our rock. Let's try again. Maybe we can get to another slide. Okay. I want to tell you about another man. This man's from northern Nigeria. This man, nobody would ever think to go and speak to this man. This man is an imam, or was an imam, in a mosque in northern Nigeria. This man was tuning across the dial one day, trying to get news on the radio, and he heard the news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And originally, when he heard the news, he was very, very upset. He could not understand how somebody would allow this message to be on the radio. But it's amazing how many times we hear this story in TWR, because he said, something made me come back every single day to listen to Through the Bible. The Spirit of God is alive. The Spirit of God can speak into the heart of any man. In fact, it's not for us to decide who we should share about the Lord Jesus Christ with. We have a responsibility to share it with everyone. And God can speak into the heart of this man. This man actually listened to, it was a TTB program, Through the Bible program. He listened to the program for almost a year. And he didn't have a Bible. And so eventually he got in touch with somebody and said, I need a Bible. I want to find out what the truth is. And I could make this story, because it goes on for a couple years, but in the end, this man accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what that man said? He said, and this is what he told us, and actually he came and met with our people in Jos, Nigeria. He said, the truth is not in the Quran. The truth is in this. And he went on to say that this is the living Word of God. Do you know that this book, the Bible, is the only book in the world that's living? It's just not a book. You can read today, you can read tomorrow. If you read any other book, there's really just one message. When you read through this book, God can speak into your heart because of the Holy Spirit a different message every single day. The third man I want to tell you about is a man from Burundi. And this actually brings back, as your pastor is there now, this really will bring focus to and really explain what's gone on in Burundi. I went in there, this was not my first trip into Burundi, probably my second or third trip into Burundi. We went into Bujumbura, which is the capital city. And this, what we would do there in those days, because it was so dangerous that we couldn't go out in the country, we'd say, if you want to come and tell your story, you got to come to our studio. Well, this man came to our studio. He took a week's salary, which for him was about $5, and got a bus and came into Bujumbura to tell his story. He sat down, and with tears in his eyes, this is the story he told us. He said, I was in my village, and the soldiers, the military, the Burundian military, came into my village, and they slaughtered most of the people in my town. He said, in my family, I witnessed 13 members of my family being killed. And he said, I was so angry, he said, I decided that I was going to kill 10 soldiers for every single member of my family that was killed. He said, I wanted revenge for what they had done to my family. And his story is very, very similar to the story of the man in northern Nigeria. He was tuning across his dial one night, not looking for TWR, actually looking for news. Just the news, you know, from BBC or Voice of America. And he came across TWR. And he started listening. And in those days, we were doing a program on reconciliation in that country. And he heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, over time, he listened. And the story is the same. That man accepted Christ as his personal Savior. But what that man told me that day is so important. He said, humanly, it is impossible to forgive somebody killing 13 members of your family. He said, it is humanly impossible. You cannot do it humanly. He said, the only way you can do it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God can change the heart of any man. God's Spirit can speak into the heart of any man. In every one of these cases I've shared, Jesus is the rock Jesus is the thing that has changed each one of these men's life. Their lives were no longer built on sand. Just recently, last fall, I went to the country of Mali. I went to Mali after the Al-Qaeda had come in and taken over the city of Timbuktu. Now, when I was a little boy, growing up, when I misbehaved, my parents threatened to send me to Timbuktu. I don't know if that ever happened to any of you, but with me. And so it wasn't till I moved to Africa that I found out there was a place called Timbuktu. Now, I didn't have any worry. My parents could not have afforded to send me there, so I was okay anyway. But this story I share with you because this story is, I saw something in Mali where people have gone through such adversity and they had Jesus as a rock. And so the story, Timbuktu is on the Sahara Desert. And actually, I guess I never thought of this, probably a good illustration somehow, but actually sits where the sand shifts every single day. And many, many years ago, probably 30, 35 years ago, a Baptist dentist went to Timbuktu. And he set up a little practice there, and one of my friends, who's become an African, had a toothache one day. And so he went to see that dentist. And the dentist never talked to him about Christ, but he just went to the dentist, never talked to him about Christ, but there was a brochure there. And my friend Abdullahi loved to read. So he got that brochure, and what happened with Abdullahi was that he kept complaining he had a toothache. He kept going back to the dentist. And over time, Abdullahi accepted Christ as his Savior. That was the beginning of the church in Timbuktu. When the Al-Qaeda came in to Timbuktu, there were 550 believers in Timbuktu. Those 550 believers, the Al-Qaeda did not kill them all or anything. They came into town, and actually in our case, TWR had a studio there. Al-Qaeda took our studio, took all our equipment, all this kind of stuff, took it outside. In our studio, they took our door frames out, our window frames out, took everything outside, put gas on it, and burnt all of our equipment. They went to the Bible school, the small Bible school there with 14 people in it, did the same there. They gave the 550 people 24 hours. I guess this is like Leaving Dodge back in the movies. They give them 24 hours to get out of town. I tell that story because I got to meet those 550 people. Their rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never seen in my life people who have lost everything be so joyful. We went to a church service, and those people literally said to us, they have nothing. Those people have nothing. When people say they left with their bag, they left, that's all they had. They put them on the buses. Those people had the joy. I saw the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in each one of those people. I went and met the head of the Bible school, and it was so amazing because that man said to me, he said, I only have one book left in my library in my Bible school. And that book was a Bible. And those people said, the only thing, we said, well, what can we do for you? And they said, just get us either an audio or a printed version of the scripture. That's all we need. That's all they asked for in that country there. We went to buy them scriptures for them in Mali. In the country of Mali, and there's about 3 to 4 million Bambara-speaking people, there were only 80 printed Bibles in their language. But these people had the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell a personal story. You know, every once in a while those slides come up. Can we go to the next slide? Okay. In the country of China, there are more cults in China than any other country in the world. And Transworld Radio Canada, especially Transworld Radio Canada, were very involved in a ministry in China called SOTA, which is Seminary on the Air. Well, we may need to change the name now because it's mostly, we're using new technology. We're doing it on the internet. I guess that's still on the air. But it's amazing what has happened. We've relaunched this ministry last August. Today, we have 1,100 students enrolled in SOTA online. Our biggest problem in China is the people there want to have a solid foundation. But there is not enough teachers, there's not enough there. We have 4,000 people on the waiting list to be taught in the country of China. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my personal story. One of my most exciting adventures that I've had in my life is I had the privilege of building a brand new station. Now, while I was building that station, my wife hardly ever saw me for almost 4 years. She used to tell people, we were living in Johannesburg. She said, I live in Johannesburg, and my husband comes to visit me once in a while. But I want to tell you a little. I can't tell the whole Benin story. Next slide. I think I can make it work that way. This picture here is a picture of the town, of some of the men in the town where we built our station. And the reason I tell this story is because the day I went there, personally, I had to make a big decision. This town is in the middle of in the country of Benin. About one-third of the people in Benin are Muslims. One-third practice animism. In fact, it's the birthplace of voodoo. And about one-third are Christians. We were given permission by the president to build a station in this country, but we needed to find a piece of land to build our station in. And so somebody from the southern part of Benin said, well, we'll take you up to an area where you can potentially build a station. And so they took us out to this village, and so we sat in front of these men. And I was sitting there this day when I had to talk to these people, and I had a decision to make. The decision that I needed to make was I going to tell them whether we were going to build a Christian station or not? The station in Benin, to give you an idea how much it covers, our station in Benin, the footprint of our station in Benin is over 190 million people. We broadcast from this station in 15 different languages. Over 100 million of those people practice Islam. So we were building this station, and so I had to go in front of these people, and I had to make a decision whether I was going to tell them the truth about what we were going to do or try to get a station built and then tell them what I was going to do. And I decided that I would stand on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I share with these men, I thought, this is over and done. These men were all Muslim men. I thought, we'll never hear from them again. Well, for those of you that know anything about TWR, we have a station. And from that station, we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Now, I'm going to show you, if we can go on. Sandy and I, I'm not sure the date. Anyway, the day before the big flood in Alberta, Sandy and I had to go to a board meeting in Alberta. And a number of our board members came in a day early because they had never been to Alberta, never seen Alberta. Well, Sandy and I, we went on quite an adventure in Alberta. We got up in the morning in Alberta, and somebody said, well, we can't go to Banff because the road's closed. Now, that should have been our first signal that something was wrong somewhere, but I guess we're not that bright after all. It's all Sandy's fault. No. Anyway, so our guests, the people that were hosting us, said, well, we'll just go up into the Canananzas Valley. Well, we hadn't been on the news or anything, and so we got in our vehicles and we drove up the road, and we went across this bridge and drove up into the Canananzas Valley. Once we got up into the valley, we realized that there was a lot of water. Those pictures are actually the Elbow River. And those are not rocks in the river. Those are trees coming down the river. And that other picture there is Bragg Creek. But there's another slide here I want to show you. When we went across this bridge, we thought we were on solid ground. That bridge, the approach to the bridge we went across, collapsed probably 45 minutes after we went across the bridge. We thought, my friends, we thought we were on solid ground. We were not on solid ground. So that right now, actually, we have a rental car that's still on the other side of the bridge. It turned out to be quite an adventure because we got airlifted out of there. But I tell this story because we thought we were on solid ground. Sandy and I very easily could have not been here today. But we, both Sandy and I, know the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know that we are on solid ground. Scripture tells us that Jesus, and it's so amazing because we were sharing this morning, one of the verses that I wrote down this morning is that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. That's found in Hebrews 13:5 and John 1-5. Jesus, the rock, is with us, with those people in Bamako, Mali, who have no earthly homes, who have nothing. He is with my friend in Bamako or in Burundi, who lost 13 members of the family. He is with our team in Benin, who face Satan attacks on a daily basis because we live in a country, or we operate in a country where voodoo is practiced every single day. He's also with all those Albertans who could have never imagined how much their lives could have changed in 1 week. I just want to go to my final slide. The slide here, that inscription, I don't know if you can see it there. It's the port of no return. The significance behind this slide here is that this is a UNESCO site, and it was built because 1.3 million slaves were loaded on ships from here and sent to America and Europe. Now, some people say that more slaves were loaded here than any other port in the world. And so this is a site where they were laid. And the reason I put this up here is those people, all, when they were put on those ships, they had no choice. They had no choice in what was happening to them. They were being taken to a new part of the world as slaves. Now, for all of us, we have a choice. And the choice is who and what is going to be our rock. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are we going to be like shifting sand and let the world take us in a direction that will lead us to a point of no return, which will end in destruction? I thought of another song. I got Sandy to actually print it out for me, and I'll conclude with this. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I in him be found, dressed in righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." And the refrain says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." So what I would encourage us today is may our rock be the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we stand on him every single day. Thank you very much.